What do you, as a Christian theologian, make of the prophethood of Muhammad? Do you have any thoughts about that?
I know
you
oh,
do.
yes, lots of thoughts about that. I do think that Muhammad was a genuine prophet of God and that he was raised up by God, and that the Quran is, in some way, an expression of God's revelation. So I do think that. I am a Christian. I mean, I'm a follower of Jesus, so that I do. Clearly, I'm not a Muslim, but I think I'm totally opposed to people who misunderstand Islam as a rejection of Christianity. I think that is not true. I think Islam would, it, as I see it, and Muhammad, I don't think he knew much about Christianity. I would have thought he was opposed to some of the views of Christians that he knew about. And I think that's true. But I don't hold any of those views, in fact, and none of my colleagues do either. So there are differences. I mean, there are clear differences, but I think he was a Muhammad was a genuine prophet of one God, who stand against a sort of popularized Christian version of there being three gods, or let's see, three different things in God, was correct. He was justified in this. So I look for an increase. I see the difference between a school of Islam and a school of Christianity as about the same sort of difference as a difference between me and conservative evangelical Christians. That there are differences. I can live with those. I can respect those who differ from me. And I think we have to say, I'm not infallible, so I'm not saying that I know that I'm right. To use an expression from the Quran, God will decide who is right. But you have to go along with your own feelings. So I follow Jesus because I think he was a human expression of the of wisdom and love of God. And the main message of that is that God loves, without exception, everyone. There are Christians who don't believe that. There are Muslims who do believe that, right? But wouldn't use words like incarnation or Trinity, etc., some certain forbidden terms. But if you accept that religious language is fluid and that all of us are unable to comprehend the nature of God precisely, I think Islam and Christianity shouldn't really be regarded as two different religions. I think they're two different ways of approaching God.
Mm.
And I'm nearer to many Muslims than I am to many Christians.
So that's a very, very interesting answer. Can I just ask this question? It's really on behalf of, I know some of the Muslim viewers, audience will want me to ask this. Muslims also have a very high regard for Jesus, clearly,
yes.
And see him as an incredibly wonderful human being who expressed the love of God to the outcast and the sinners and so on, and that's all wonderful. So your admiration for Jesus is shared by Muslims too, although maybe expressed slightly differently, of course. He's not seen as an icon into God that we pray through, of course. They would wonder, the question would be, why aren't you a Muslim? If you accept, in that mindset, if you accept that Muhammad is a prophet of God and you believe in one God and God sent Jesus, that is virtually a definition of what a Muslim believes anyway. So they would ask, why aren't you a Muslim? And saying you're a Christian is not an answer, because for the reasons you mentioned, Muslims can already encompass that understanding as well, that he is someone who expresses the love of God to you in the wisdom of God in a very special way. You know, many Sufi Muslims could say, yeah, absolutely, we agree with you, but we're Muslims. So the question is, why aren't you a Muslim? That's the question.
Well, it's like asking me why I'm an Anglican or an Episcopalian rather than a Methodist. Because that's the way of thinking of God, which has, I feel, demanded my loyalty. So it's a bit like saying, why do you prefer one view of philosophy to another view of philosophy? And you say, well, because that's the way that seems right to me, that attracts me, that demands my loyalty. And once your loyalty is demanded, well, I say this for a Muslim too, of course, you stay true to what has revealed God to you. So I'd say, all right, the end. Why I'm a Christian is because I have personally experienced, or I believe that I have personally experienced, the presence of Jesus Christ actually affecting what I feel and think and do. So I have no alternative. You know, this is the person who has revealed God to me personally. But I'm not denying that Muslims can have God revealed to them in a different way, and I honor that way. But it's not my way. I would like to try to understand it more. That's true, and be much more in affinity with the Muslim way of thought. But it's just not the way that it's happened for me. It's not my, not part of my autobiography. So I think,
I understand what you're saying. A supplementary question to that, it just occurred to me. You acknowledge that Muhammad is a prophet of God. In your knowledge of your colleagues in Christian theology globally, how widespread is that view, do you think, that Muhammad was a prophet of God amongst your academic colleagues who are Christian theologians?
I think it's almost universally accepted. I mean, as you know, even I suppose Roman Catholics are, on the whole, more conservative than I would be as an Episcopalian. But they now officially believe that Islam is a revelation of God. That's Vatican II, an official declaration. So I think that my colleagues would undoubtedly say that. I mean, I know lots of Christians wouldn't, but...
No, well, that's why I meant theologians, particularly, that those who are...
Theologians, I think, would all accept... But you know, if you're asking the question, how influential are theologians on most Christians? The answer is not in the slightest.
There's some new input. Yeah, anyway, but that's interesting. That will come as quite a revelation and quite a shocking thing to say that in your experience, most of your academic Christian theological colleagues who are not Catholics would actually see Muhammad as a prophet of God.
Yes, I think that's true.
That's remarkable. That I didn't know, actually. So it was a genuine question of mine. That's interesting. So that suggests a certain openness to other faiths and overcoming these cultural barriers and looking beyond our own comfort zones and recognizing patterns of commonality and similar spiritual dynamics and spiritual realities across the boundaries between religions. And theologians today are well equipped to do that in our world, in our global village, perhaps.
I know you will know the work of Cantwell Smith, who was the founder of the Harvard Center for the Study of World Religions, and he was an expert on Islam. That was his scholarly field. And he actually recommended that we should stop using the word religion as though there were different blocks of huge beliefs, which everybody who's a Christian has this block and everybody who's a Muslim has that block, and we just should talk about ways of faith and ways of approaching God. And I'm in sympathy with that. I think talking about a religion, you know, some of the Christians I know don't believe anything that I believe except they use the word Jesus, but they're talking about somebody else.
This speaks of a yawning chasm, shall we say, between your world in that sense of the academic theologians and certainly many in the pew, say in the United States and Africa and other parts of the world, where they are exclusivist to the absolute. You know, only, I hear this all the time, only Jesus will lead you to God. And I say, well, okay, so Moses didn't know Jesus. Is he damned? Because you've got to believe in Jesus to be saved. Well, what about all the prophets? They didn't know. And I'm not quite sure what the answer they give to that, but it's a very binary, absolutist, exclusivist worldview, which is a million miles from your own, of course.
And it's a million miles away from saying that Jesus is the savior of the world, not of one little group within the world. And of course, people like me, and again, most of my academic colleagues would in general agree with this, we would say that the savior of the world is, of course, God. And it's only insofar as Jesus mediates God that Jesus is the savior of the world. And we believe he does mediate God, so we can say that. But we're not excluding everybody else because God wants to save the whole world. And I'm very clear about that. And I think some of my Muslim friends, and I have been, have a close association with the Oxford Islamic Center. And I think they, most of them, I think, believe that too.
Yeah. But I just want to say thank you very much indeed for your time and your papers. It was really, really fascinating. And I know many Muslims will be very interested in what you've said, both in clarifying, because we're often used to fundamentalist Christians having a go. And to hear an alternative voice, of which your voice is certainly more representative of Christianity, I think, than the harsh extremism that we hear of. It's good that Muslims hear this, and your more openness to Islam as well, to be frank. So thank you very much.
I actually think, Paul, that until all the major developed spiritual faiths of the world, and I include India and Buddhism and forms of Hinduism in this too, until they come to a greater understanding of their own historical perspective and development and shared goals and their differences as well, and but have a sympathetic appreciation of that, until that happens, we're not going to adequately perceive the truth of our own tradition that we belong to.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. And I'm going to end the discussion now. And thank you, everyone, for listening in. And please leave your comments and your thoughts as well. Until next time. Thank you.
I do think that Muhammad was a genuine prophet of God.